Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 3 for the public reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 3 here this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Verse 19. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him, that's John the Baptist, for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, in verses 19, we are introduced to the next Herod that would be called, quote-unquote, King of the Jews, and would play a fundamental role in the life of both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ himself. This Herod was one of the surviving sons of Herod the Great. And in the course of providence, and within the political connivings of both the aristocrats there in Judea, as well as the Roman Emperor and the Roman Senate, Herod Antipas, or Herod the Tetrarch, is now the king of the Jews. And he's ruling, okay, all the way from Galilee, all the way down to the south, where Jerusalem is found. Well, John the Baptist, we know, preached a message that was not popular. He did preach a message that had two sides to it. If you pay close attention to his message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was a good message. Turn from your sins, and in turning, follow him in baptism, follow the Lord in baptism, not to remove your sins, not to wash away sins, but as a public commitment to the truth. But then also we read earlier that John the Baptist preached a message of an axe that was already touching the root of the nation. That there was a judgment, an impending judgment, would fall eventually on the nation. And it did in the year AD 70 at the hands of the Romans. So John was preaching a two-sided message. One of repentance, and the other of judgment. Well, one of the things that Herod did that got him into hot water with John was that Herod stole his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. He stole her and married her. But the problem was Philip was still alive. So therefore, in that sense, Herod and Herodias were committing adultery, because Philip was still pumping blood. He was not dead. And therefore the marriage, or the arrangement between Herod and Herodias, was unscriptural. And because John brought that to Herod's attention, and Herodias' attention, and to the attention of the people at large, that ended up putting John in prison. And then eventually, John lost his head because of this situation. And what else does it say in verse 19? All the evils which Herod did. So, beloved, there is biblical warrant that a gospel preacher is to, at times, call out, name names, and identify the sins of our political leaders. Political leaders are not immune from being pointed out in their hypocrisy, their sinfulness, their greed, their avarice, and their murderings. John did. And yes, he paid the price. But he's in a much better place than Herod Antipas. Also, too, verses 20 we're told, to compound all of his evil and his adulteries and his murderings, he puts John eventually in prison. Now, in verse 21 and 22, we find a reference to Jesus' baptism that you will find recorded in the other Gospels. But here Luke gives a very concise account. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, and heaven was open. Here's one of those rare occasions during the public ministry of Jesus where heaven opens, and heaven is going to give a verbal response of what is now transpiring on earth. That's amazing. The transfiguration, for instance, will be another position or another time when heaven opens and heaven gives a response. Saul of Tarsus, heaven opens and Christ reveals himself to Saul of Tarsus, and heaven gives a response to Saul of Tarsus. So on numerous occasions, the book of Revelation, for instance, heaven was truly being opened, and John was beholding wonders and things that would just boggle the mind. Verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Number one, we see the Trinity. Verse 22 says, Thou art my beloved Son. Well, that's the Father speaking. Number two, verse 22a, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. That's the third member of the Godhead. And who's in the water? Jesus, the Son of God, the second member of the Godhead. So all three persons of the Godhead were represented on the day of Jesus' baptism. Another thing that's very key and crucial, from the age of 12 to the age of 30, because I'm going to jump ahead, look at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed. So from 12 years old, the last time we see Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, was it Luke or was it in Matthew, where he's in the temple dialoguing with the Luke chapter 2, the last time Jesus is mentioned, he's 12. Then in verse 52 of Luke 2, it says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now here in Luke chapter 3, verses 20 to 22 and part of 23, he's now 30. Those missing years of Jesus, and there is so much foolishness and so much Gnostic nonsense that has been added to describe what went on when Jesus was 12 to the age of 30, sometimes performing some of the most bizarre miracles, going off to Egypt or going off to India or China or Japan to learn his ability to work miracles. Foolishness. Well, how do we dispel those missing years? Verse 22. Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Jesus was not going around performing tricks and antics and stunts to impress people, like making dead birds come alive. Or on one occasion, one of these writings says that Jesus blinded a boy because the boy threw dirt in Jesus' face when they were playing there in the sandbox, for instance. Then there's one account where Jesus got in trouble and Joseph, grabbing Jesus by the ear, yanked him home as if Jesus had committed a sin and now he's needed to be disciplined by his stepfather. That's pure nonsense. According to the Bible, those missing years, as they're termed, Jesus was in subjection to Mary and Joseph, learned his stepfather's craft as a carpenter, and did not commit evil or sin. He did not even leave his neighborhood to go sit under a guru in Egypt, India, Japan, or China. Well, may the word of the Lord be blessed.